Hello there, and welcome again to the Keep Renew podcast. This episode is Making Sense of the Low-Fat versus Low-Carb Diet Debate. So recently, there was another piece of research released on the low-fat versus low-carb debate. Hey, but hang on, what is the low-fat versus low-carb debate? Well, some people propose that by mainly reducing carbohydrates and increasing fats, as per the Atkins diet or paleo diet, you can lose weight and be much healthier. Others, including the UK National Health Service guidelines, propose that reducing fats, in particular saturated fats, is the best way to lose weight and also to maintain good health. Right, these two views are directly opposite, so how on earth do we make sense of it? Well, I'm coming at this as a complete novice. I'm not a nutritionist nor a doctor. I'm just somebody who's passionate about food and very interested in better understanding nutrition so I can lead a healthier life. I am interested in research, having graduated with a master's in the social sciences. My background is in digital education. It's an area that interests me. So, as always, I will talk you through the four things. What I did, first. Second, what I've learned. Third, what action or ideas came out of that. And fourth, a reflection on how I feel about it all now. So let me begin with number one, what I did over the past week or two. Well, I decided to look in some detail at the original research that was recently carried out by Christopher Gardner and his fellow researchers. Because low carb being good for you and high fat being bad for you seems to be, for me, one of the most complex and confusing areas of nutrition. The research was released on the JAMA Network, and as usual, the links are all there on my webpage. Through the different Twitter accounts that I follow, I also read two reviews of the research. One was from an organization called examine.com. That seems to be a pretty solid organization when it comes to research. And the other was the diet doctor, Andreas Enfeldt, who also seems to be very clued up on research. And he is also an advocate of low carb and keto diets. So that's what I did. Now, secondly, what did I learn? Well, there were mainly four things. Four significant things that I learned from this research. This study, first of all, has been very hot in the media as well. You've probably seen it in a lot of the newspapers, I guess because it's such a hotly debated area of nutrition. But it was also seen as a particularly important piece of research, A, because it's quite large, B, because it's a randomized controlled trial, which is basically the gold standard of research in the sciences, and also because it's a relatively long intervention. It was over the course of a year. Interestingly, it also explored the potential genetics and insulin influence on diet and weight loss. So the four things I got from this, and these are my conclusions and what I've learned. The first one, if you go on a restricted diet, and it doesn't really matter which, you will consume less calories and so lose weight. I say that because the conclusion to the research shows there is no significant difference between low-carb and low-fat diet on weight loss. I'm aware there's lots of other research out there, and I'll talk about that later, but this particular research, there was no difference. And that could support the idea that if you go on a restrictive diet, it doesn't matter which, really, you're going to consume less calories and so you will lose weight. This is something I've read quite a bit in different areas, and it makes total sense here. I guess the related big takeaway, though, is the following. Given there's a history of research that shows low-carb diets help lose weight, and yet also low-fat diets can help lose weight, then that makes me stop and think, hang on, jumping on a particular diet or a bandwagon, if that's the right expression, doesn't necessarily work. It's not black and white. Clearly, low carb works for some, but not for others, and vice versa. Low fat works for some and not for others. So that leads me really onto my second learning point, which is one size clearly does not fit all. In the research, whilst the average changes in weight loss show no significant difference, the difference in weight loss of individuals as opposed to the average is huge, from losing 32 kilograms to gaining 11 kilograms. So this might also suggest other factors are at play. Indeed, the study hypothesized it might be the genes or insulin sensitivity that are those factors, but there were no significant results found for these. So what other factors might be at play? Is it possibly different microbiomes? And if you listen to the last podcast I did, we discuss gut microbes and microbiomes. I mention it because in the research they did mention also that they took stool samples, so in future they can look at the influence of microbiomes too. Fascinating, great stuff, watch this space. Third thing I learned was that those who stand by a position for their website, their books or similar are often reluctant to accept they don't have all the answers. As I browse the many, many tweets on this research, I notice that those who stand by a particular position or philosophy, whether it's for their website, their book or similar, are often reluctant to stop and say, this goes against what I advocate. That's interesting. I wonder why. And they're much more likely to be critically evaluating the research just with a view to supporting their long-held point of view. Well, there is an interesting exception several years ago, which I will talk about later, which is Dr. Noakes, who appears in the BBC Food Programme. More of that shortly. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, right? I'm an advocate, absolutely, of critical thinking, but I think it's the spirit of critical evaluation that's interesting and important, and that it should be one of exploration rather than justification, and that would be more helpful in advancing science and knowledge. And my fourth learning point is everything is relative. Yeah, a bit philosophical, I know. But the LCHF, I love the acronyms, low carb, high fat advocates point out that the very fact that a study was done to see which of these was better, low fat or low carb, to lose weight is great progress for the low carb advocates. Mainly because not so long ago, low carb diets were criticised as being ineffective and unsafe. For example, potentially damaging kidneys. So in fact, the fact that they're comparing both is big progress. So I've looked at what I did, what I've learned. Let me move on to part three. Any action or ideas that came out of that? Well, there are two main things that I did following up from this. One was a podcast to listen to, and the second was reading or investigating a bit of research. So the first one was a podcast by the BBC Food Programme, and it was called Eat to Run, Part 3. And this is where Dr. Tim Noakes was interviewed. You remember I mentioned him before. He was a leading scientist, a very influential voice on the sport nutrition in South Africa. But he was rejected by his university when in 2010 he admitted, after 30 years of promoting carbohydrate loading for athletes, that he was wrong. Apparently, he says, after the publication of the Atkins diet, he realised he'd been giving wrong advice for years. And in fact, athletes should be reducing their carbs and loading fats for peak performance. This interview is interesting, I think, because I've seen lots of tweets attacking him, but I've never actually heard him being interviewed. I mean, he clearly deserves respect for accepting that he may have been wrong and for changing his mind based on the science that he saw and also based on his own results, because he changed his diet to a low carb, high fat. But also, I mean, bearing in mind how this was going to damage his career, what an incredible leap that must have been. in the interview, he goes on and he talks a bit about the history of the low-carb, high-fat diet. And to be honest, this is where I lose the thread a bit. And I've mentioned this before, it's around the ancestral argument bit. For me, you know, the argument that high-fat is good because Ice Age man, 1-2 million years ago, only ate animals and had a high-fat diet. Well, as I've mentioned, we really don't know what our ancestors ate. We can only speculate. And it seems to me that, you know, idealizing them to say they were extremely healthy, well, again, firstly, they probably did a lot more exercise than we do. Speculation, guilty, I know. And secondly, their life expectancy, which I think we do know, was probably around 20 years old. So most of them will have kicked the bucket before any modern day disease had time to manifest itself. Anyway, the most interesting reflections come towards the end of the interview, where they discuss the fact that the great Ethiopian marathon runners, who have a high carb diet, by the way, are some of the best athletes in the world. And the interviewer asks a great question: how do you explain that? And Dr. Noakes says, well, imagine what they might be like on a low carb, high fat diet. Good answer, right? But really? They might be even better, right? Anyway, in this program, Dr. Michael Mosley, who also hosts a BBC show, if you're in the UK, you may know, called Trust Me, I'm a Doctor. He is brought into the interview and he cites the study I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast by Christopher Gardner. And he also, when put on the spot, says that the best diet for him is ultimately the Mediterranean diet and the one that he personally steers towards. Now, what is exactly meant by a Mediterranean diet, I think, is a topic for a whole new podcast. To be honest, I've lived in both Spain and Italy, and the diets are very different. Is there really one Mediterranean diet? That's for another way. Anyway, I mentioned Dr. Michael Mosley because he does mention the problem with dietary recommendations per se, whatever they are, it's difficult because every single person reacts differently. He suggests it might be due to the difference in our gut microbes. Hello. That's a theme that's popping up a lot on my radar recently. And funnily enough, I've also just seen on his website that he's published a book about gut microbes. In fact, a whole suite of products. Well, isn't it interesting what you discover as you start to explore? That was a really good podcast. I'm going to move on now to the second thing I did, which was investigate a bit more the research. I did mention earlier that in addition to the Christopher Gardner et al. Research, there is a history of studies around both the low-carb and the low-fat diets and their effect on diet and health. So I had a look, and there were, well, a group of research papers done on that show that the low-carb, high-fat diet always helps lose weight better. And there were 23 of them. In fact, you can see them all on the Healthline website, link below. But there were also three fairly large meta-analysis studies, which collate whole other studies. One of them showed that 32 studies revealed low-fat diets had greater weight loss. 48 randomized controlled trial studies showed no significant difference. And another 5 out of 13 showed a significant benefit from the very low carbohydrate ketogenic diet for weight loss and health improvement. Well, as always, there's no yes answer, or yes no answer for that matter. There is no winner. There is rigorous research on both sides of the equation, which really leads us to conclude that it is complicated and there is no one way or one answer. And that is my segue to the very final section, number 4, reflection on how I feel about my learning so far. Well, very briefly, I love the investigation, despite the challenges. It feels a bit like putting a jigsaw together and then suddenly someone changes the pieces when you're halfway through. Despite that, I still enjoy it. I'm on a roller coaster of interest, confusion, joy and dismay, and enjoying every minute. And as long as I'm enjoying it, well, then I'm going to carry on learning. I hope you do too. This is Keith from Seriously Fun Food, making sense of the low-fat versus low-carb diet debate. Have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.